Hello, this is my Advent diary for December the 9th, 2018. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. This is a reading from the fifth chapter of Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. My maternal grandfather was a person of deep faith. He had to be. He made his living as a farmer. In northeast Louisiana during the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, the primary cash crop was cotton. My grandparents, along with their seven children, tilled, planted, tended, weeded, and picked acres upon acres of the stuff, mostly without any benefit of modern farming equipment. The work was back-breaking. The hours were interminable. The family's economic stability rose and fell with each year's yield. One of my grandfather's favorite quips about his work as a farmer was, "King Cotton is a despot." Sometimes, in spite of all their efforts, the crop would fail in some way or another. Maybe there was too much rain or not enough. Maybe the plants would be infected with some rare blight or infested with some sort of insecticide-resistant bug. Maybe there was a later-than-usual frost. Maybe the seed was in some way deficient so that the expected yield never materialized. Yet every year, the crop was planted, the work undertaken with the expectation that a harvest would be gathered. As Grandpa told me more than once, the hardest thing to understand about farming, he would say, wasn't when there was some sort of reasonable explanation for a disappointing crop. The hardest years were when we did everything right, when all of the conditions were right, and still, for no apparent reason, the crop failed to grow into the hopes we had for it. Then my grandfather would pause. He'd stare out across the field of cotton that began just a few dozen yards from his front porch and stretched out toward the horizon. He'd take a deep breath and say, "But we knew that sometimes you just get a bad crop, and a bad crop is no reason to quit." When Isaiah of Jerusalem offers his hymn to God's faithfulness in today's reading, he casts God in the role of a vineyard owner, a grape farmer. In the parable, the divine farmer has done everything right. Good land, cleared of stones, complete with a watchtower, protective hedge, and choice vines intended to produce the finest of grapes. But when harvest time comes, there are no sweet, succulent grapes to be found on these choice vines, just wild grapes, bitter and sour. There's only one thing for the farmer to do. Let the field go fallow. Tear down the hedge. Give the vineyard over to the briars and thorns. Trample the whole thing underfoot. At first glance, there doesn't seem to be much hope in this picture. It would seem that the divine farmer has given up on his unfruitful vineyard. Yet, the farmer retains possession of the land, And in retaining possession, the farmer demonstrates that another attempt at a crop will be made. More grape plants will be planted. Sweet grapes in the wine vat are just a matter of time and patience. And this farmer has all the time, all the patience in this world and beyond. Isaiah has told a story of both judgment and grace. As we've already noticed in our readings this Advent, these two ideas are not mutually exclusive. Quite the contrary. Judgment and grace are mutually inclusive. Isaiah can see, with prophetic insight, that the judgment coming upon the covenant people is the fruit of their rebellion against the Almighty One. Likewise, he can see that the seeds of God's judgment scattered upon an unfaithful vineyard will yield a harvest of grace. After all, a bad crop is no reason to quit. Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.